Robin!
It's kind of nice to have the peacefulness of being out there. I do some sledding too. I'll do some ski stuff. I like doing a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
The split board is just a way to access places that, yeah, no one else can get to. And it's quiet. It's awesome. I don't know. I think it's really fun.
Welcome to episode 21 of Dark Starts, your backcountry splitboarding podcast. In this one, we talk with adventurer and ACMG guide in training, Seb Grandin. Seb regales us with stories of guiding, riding, and paddling a river in January in search of steep drops. So grab your Putain and your can of Labatt's 50 and listen in.
Drop in with Seb Grandin. Hey Seb, how's your night going?
Hey, pretty good.
Good, good. You having a few beers like we are or what?
Yeah, I just had a couple beers here and had some dinner.
Finished.
Nice stir fry.
Finished.
Pretty good after work.
Yeah, working on the mountain or the cliffside.
Yeah.
How did you get that kind of gig?
How did I get that gig? I think this probably like 6-7 years ago, I got it through Andrew Shepherd. He's like an old ski legend that lives in town in Revy here. And yeah, I was looking for a camp job and he's like, oh yeah, there's that rock scaling. I was like, oh cool. Be like hanging off a rope. Should be pretty chill. And yeah, ended up into that.
Should be pretty chill.
Yeah, it wasn't really that chill at all.
Some rock scaling, just hanging from a rope.
Just ripping rocks off the side of the mountain. That's fuck all. No worries.
Yeah, it's not that chill. Well, it can be. It depends, but.
Nice. Yeah, I watch you on your Instagram. Lots of good video footage.
Yeah, it's pretty entertaining at times.
Yeah, nice.
So what's rock scaling? Is that like preventing rocks from falling on the highway type of thing? Or?
Yeah, there's a lot of scope with it. Like we do a lot of different things, but like what we're doing right now is above Revelstoke Dam. If anyone's been driving there this summer, you've probably been waiting for us. But yeah, you just basically, you got the slope above and there's a bunch of anchors in there, so we're just protecting the anchors and then stabilizing the whole upper part of the slope, and yeah, just redoing a lot of work. I think they're gonna put a new turbine on the dam, so they're just trying to protect that. So that's kind of what we're doing this year. We're just doing a lot of drilling and dropping rocks, and yeah, it's kind of caveman style stuff, but
crazy. Yeah. I bet that pays $5 an hour.
Yeah, just about. If you're lucky, that's when you're good.
What do you want, kid? You're here for the fun.
Yeah. You're climbing all day. Right. That's fucking wrong.
What?
With you.
People get paid for this?
What? Fuck, I do this for free, man.
Yeah, man.
Shh.
Yeah, don't tell them. Oh, God.
Right, yeah. So, yeah, we do a lot of this stuff too. We installed avalanche mitigation systems and stuff like that. And yeah, a whole bunch of different things. We installed some Gazix guns. And I did those avalanche fences in Rogers Pass for a few years. And yeah.
Oh, no shit. Like that. Nice. Fun stuff.
Nice.
So you do that for fun. Yeah. So what do you do for funner stuff?
Snowboarding.
What? Snowboarding.
Come on. Hey. Yeah. No, I don't know.
No.
Started doing lots of different things in the summers in the last few years. But yeah, boarding's the thing for sure.
So you don't sound like you're from Revelstoke.
So where are you from?
You got to guess or what?
Land of the Putin. That's where you're from.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The great Canadian dish.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. The best. Love that stuff.
Yeah, buddy. So yeah. Tell us a little bit about...
I've been home for like a year and a half now. I can't wait to go back.
Jones have for a good some Putin again. Putin. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Have a galvaud with the peas and the chicken in there. That's the best.
Oh. That's like a turkey dinner puts in.
I don't know
in.
What that is, but that sounds fucking good.
It's good.
Turkey dinner puts in. Yeah.
Dang.
It's where it's at.
Mm-hmm. So when did snowboarding start for you, Seb?
Back home on some icy slope on Bromont. You guys ever heard? It's like a small hill an hour away from Montreal.
Nope.
So lots of night skiing. It's kind of crazy. The whole hill is fully lit up. So yeah, I just go ride at night. I don't even know what it was to ride in the daytime for a long time.
Well, yeah, because is that near Tremblant-Savard or is it just another area of that?
It's on the east side of Montreal.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's on, yeah.
Yeah.
It's on the even more icy side than Tremblant.
Yeah, I've never been that side. I just, yeah, Tremblant. It's pretty good. I had a lot of fun back then in the 90s. It was good. We had lots of fun. It was big, bigger than Ontario where I'm from. So, yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
Did some stupid shit. Broke bottles over my head and stuff.
Party. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a good place to go party and let loose a little bit, for sure.
Yeah, buddy did that. Yeah. Been there, done that. Did the Boozy the Clown thing in the city of Mont-Tremblant.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Fuck.
Nice. That's awesome.
Wake up with a fucking...
the whiskey days.
I got a headband, and my head looks like a big pimple, red on top, because I'm bald. I got this headband on, because I'm bleeding everywhere. Yeah, smart. my buddy Brian, he's like talking to some girl. He's like ready to pick some chick up, and I'm like, I'm going to fucking break the ball over my head. Blood everywhere. He's like, you fucking idiot. And I'm like, yeah.
So you're Project Six. You're Project Six.
Shit.
No, nice. That's fucking Boozy the Clown whiskey stuff. Fucking awesome.
Yeah. Fuck. Yeah, that's OG.
That's OG for sure, yeah. So you started riding back then, nighttime riding, and then you just kind of progressed. Well, once you ride ice, snow is nice.
Yeah. Once you find snow, you're like, oh. That's kind of cool.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. It must have been like 2005 or something. I moved to Golden for a year.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
And went there for a bit. Had a good time. Kicking had a really horse. Good time. Yeah, Kicking Horse. Yeah. That was a good hill. There's some good partying too, for sure. That's kind of part of it. Got the... Oh, man. Yeah, it was pretty good.
the hesitation.
That was good. We'll keep it there. It was good times.
Okay. Yeah. There's no PG-13 on this place, but it's okay.
Okay.
You can let her rip. But So you went to Golden, and then what led you into moving out of Golden into Revelstoke?
I just heard there's a new ski hill opening and all that stuff, so it sounded pretty cool. And then, I went back to Quebec for a year, and I just realized I was not into it anymore. So I was like, I'll just try to go to Revy. I just went here by myself. I just kind of, that trip, I was traveling all over the place by myself, having a good time. So
yeah.
I just kept going with that, and I met a whole bunch of fun people here, and I just got right stuck.
It's not a bad place to get stuck.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it's good.
It's good,
and fun, for sure.
It's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then how did you...
Go ahead. When I was in Golden, I started, we started, bootpacking around the backcountry and, getting snowshoes, and I rented a split board one time. I was like, oh, man, that's sick.
Yeah, access is so much easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, for sure.
Yeah.
It was awesome. I remember, we went to the back of Ballou Pass. Have you guys been to Rogers Pass at all?
Not yet.
No,
not yet.
Yeah, and it was like
unfortunately
that kind of main drain as they get to, and there was nobody. It was awesome. And we'd park and take off with snowshoes, and my buddy was in his ski boots, and he had those tracker things. They just click in your ski bindings and you could tour with them, but they didn't work, so he just bootpacked all the way to the back of Ballou Pass. He bootpacked up in ski boots for 5 or 6 hours. It was retarded.
That's fucking dedication.
Yeah, you'd see someone do that, and now you'd have so many people grumpy at him and stuff. It'd be, different thing.
You fucked up the skin track.
Totally. But you deserve your pal.
For sure. For that kind of work?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so then you went from the... so you rented a split board, but then how did you get hooked up with Nitro? How did that happen for you?
That would happen to Society, the skate shop in Revy.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been hooked up with them for a while. It's a homie that owns it, and we're just a little tight family in there, really, with all the Wasted Youth boys and stuff. And that's kind of our little gig. And Carl just put me in touch with the Nitro rep at the time, I think. And just got going from there.
Yeah, because you're a crazy Frenchman from the Iceland into the POW, so you fucking throw down, right?
Well, that's what French people do when you come out west. You're just like, oh, there's big cliffs. I'm just going to launch off everything.
Everything.
And then you just figure out that flat landings are not good after a year or two. They kind of hurt your knees. And then you start looking for landings.
Yeah, figure out what the fuck a landing is.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like, oh, there's so much smoke. I can jump off anything. Doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah. That's so good. I know Mark was the same kind of way. He's like, we were calling him. He was like, we're doing this for the first time. He goes, I'm used to fucking dummying, being the first guy off a jump. No problem. Let's do it. I'm like, no, you're not the first guy. Yeah. Don't worry about it. But I know I'm down with that.
Yeah.
It was good. It was good. So living in Revelstoke, how's that been treating you?
It's been awesome, man. Love this place. Yeah. It's great out here. Yeah.
Just needs a good put-in place.
Beauty town. It's just like chill. I don't know. I came here for the winter and I was like loving the winter, obviously. And there's so much snow and the mountains are awesome. Yeah. It's just, there's always something super fun to do. Like there's not a day I don't want to go snowboarding really.
Oh, I can imagine.
Oh, almost not a day.
Yeah. Minus 30s out.
Just those days where you want to go paddling down a river in the middle of winter, right?
Yeah. That's way better.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah. Well, you can talk about it now. You just prefaced it. So why not? Let's go into that. So how did that start happening for you guys? Like, what did you guys decide to say? Well, let's go paddling down a river.
Let's go hit the Columbia River in January.
And when it hits 35 below zero.
So I got that one friend, Nick Gator. He's that guy that comes out with all crazy fucking ideas all the time. And well, that was one of them. He just had the idea to do a trip from Micah to Revelstoke in the middle of the winter. So we tried to do it not last winter, the winter before in the spring, but the whole lake froze and the river froze. So we actually couldn't do it. Like, we're waiting for the river to thaw. It didn't thaw until April, and then there's no snow down low, so we couldn't do it.
So was the point of the trip to canoe down the river and then hit spots to go ride?
Yeah, totally.
Fucking, that's crazy.
Yeah, awesome. We did like
crazy cool.
It was 140K, and we did it in 10 days. I think it was 4 days of paddling, and the rest were just shredding around kind of thing.
Nice.
That is, and so you guys filmed that whole trip.
Yeah, we filmed the whole thing. So we had the filmer with us, and then it was me, Johan Rosen, and Nick. And there's gonna be a movie coming out pretty soon here. We're like waiting for festival replies and stuff. It's been submitted to a few festivals and stuff, so we'll see what happens with it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah, it was good, but it's like we were all set to go over. We're going in January this year because we got skunked the year before. So we're all set to go in January, and then we got our dates that we all took off from work, and like we're all lined up, and all of a sudden, we just started looking at the forecast, and it's like, oh, great, it's looking to be like a massive Arctic outflow, and it's going to be minus 35, we're just like, ow.
Fuck.
And we're like, well, let's go. We had like a super compact little wall tent with a wood stove in it.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was kind of a game changer there.
Yeah. No,
a little bit of a lifesaver. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Get some heat that way.
Yeah. Apparently, standing dead trees don't burn all that well.
So that was going to be my next question. I thought I was going to be asking the stupid question, like, what did you find wood on the shore?
It was already going in my head too.
Yeah.
But like, so finding good burnable wood was not the easiest thing.
Yeah, it wasn't the easiest for sure. Yeah, no, it was. At first, it was pretty easy. Like the first couple of days, it was fine. It wasn't too cold and stuff. But when it got really cold, somehow it was way harder to get fire going. Luckily, we found a trapper's cabin that had some cedar that was chopped up, so we might have snagged a couple of logs off that guy to just get our fire going.
Beautiful.
Get things going.
But once it was going, it was good. So it was just like, get the initial punch to the cedar is good for that.
And yeah, absolutely.
Then we're sweet. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Heck yeah. So you do a little fishing while you're on that river too? Were you eating any of that?
We brought a rod, but we didn't end up fishing. It was just, I don't know, trying to move when we're canoeing so we could get to the next red spot and whatnot.
Like, yeah. It's minus 35. Who the fuck wants to hold fish. A fucking rod in there?
Yeah, fuck Darren.
Fuck. That's where you bring a gun. Get that fucking thing over.
Fucking grenade. Shoot in the river. Fucking blow him up.
Oh, yeah.
Come to the top. TNT. Fuck. Fuck it.
Uh-huh.
Nice. So.
Yeah. No, it was a good time. It was sweet because, being that cold, the snow was like blower pow all the way to the bottom. Yeah, so, no doubt. Dude, we got the one day we like got down around Downey Loop and then the night we saw some nice pillows that were coming right down to the water. So the next day we just paddled back up the river until we got to that spot and just went straight in some pillows right down to the canoes. It was super fun.
I can't wait for that movie. What's it going to be called?
Without a Paddle.
Nice.
Without a Paddle. Good thing you had a paddle.
Why'd you burn that too? Or
yeah, I had to at some point.
Use a fucking snowboard to get home with. Fucking snowboarding.
Yeah. Check out. It'll be in some movies festival. I think it's got in for a few, but we're still waiting on response from other ones. We'll see. Yeah.
That's good.
What comes up.
That's good.
So that was Nick's idea? Like let's cruise down the river and.
Yeah, it was big time Nick's idea, and then Johan got into it really quick. And yeah, I joined in at some point. I can't remember, but yeah, it was.
They sold you on the idea. Nice.
Yeah.
So let's get back to a little bit about when you started riding POW. Did you even have like an Avalanche 1 course?
I think it was called the Rock Course back then.
Okay.
I did it in Golden. So like I went cherry picking like all good French Canadian do in the summer, you know? and I met a couple other French Canadians there and I was
kidding.
Hey, we're gonna go let's go shredding Kicking Horse this winter. My buddy I was with was going back to Quebec, so I just went to Kicking Horse to Golden with them. And yeah, he had done a season in Chamonix. He's like, okay, we really need to take an Avalanche course and get all the gear and so we, like, right off the bat, we went and took an Avalanche course, and I found an old Beacon. I think I had a used gear shop. Like, I don't recommend doing that, but I did it. I think it was an old analog Beacon with, like, two lights and the noise kind of thing. Like,
oh, the ones with the headphones?
You just turn a little dial, and, like, as you get closer kind of thing. And found one of those, and I guess it was still semi-legit back then, but, yeah. Found one of those things, and then we started like snowshoeing around, and yeah, figuring things out, I guess.
So when did you discover splitboarding?
Well, you rented one.
I rented one that year. I think there's a shop called 180 there or something. I rented like a massive board. I think it was 175 or something like that. I can't remember.
What?
Like, oh, I'll try a big board. I'll be sick.
Right.
And yeah. Yeah, just went up the pass and it was a good time.
Had lots of work bringing that fucker down the hill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I went back home for a year, like I was saying, and then I found an old camper freestyle 165 in a garage sale. I think it was tree planting, actually. Yeah. I went tree planting out west and then I came back home again and I had a camper freestyle 165. I cut it in half and made a split board. I know a lot of history fans would probably hate that, but yeah, it was a great board.
Yeah. Nowadays, right? Like, what are you doing to that board? Whatever.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. So you had the DIY kit. So what bindings did you have on that thing?
There's not even sparks down there. So what did I have? I think I had some random old bindings on those wally plates kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, those big steel plates they used to have that you screw your bindings in?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was rocking for a bit, and then I kept going with DIY splits for a while. Then I got hooked up with Nitro, and they didn't have a split back then. So yeah, I just kept cutting like my last year's board, whatever, and just kept going that way. Nice. Yeah.
Who do you ride? What bindings do you ride right now?
I got Sparks right now, but Nitro's coming out with the Spark Nitro collab binding this year. Is it coming up with their own binding? So
Spark's good.
I'm
like
pretty
that.
Fired up on that.
You're gonna have to try some.
It looks sick.
You get to try some hard boots. I think that's the magic.
Yeah, I actually just bought a pair off Joey.
Nice. See.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes. I'm not sure. I don't know. There's that thing. I did a traverse a couple years ago, and it was like side hill on hard pack the whole time, and it freaking killed my feet. So.
Oh, in soft boots, you mean?
Yeah, in soft boots, yeah. I never had hard boots until like, I just bought them off Julie a couple of weeks ago, I think.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I know. I've been hearing lots about them. I definitely want to try them out. I'm not sure how sold I am, but...
Yeah, why don't you even try it? Oh, it'll be good for some things for sure. Yeah,
exactly.
A little unsure about... Yeah. For like long tours and yeah, mountaineering days and that kind of stuff, it would be sweet for sure.
Well, we just recorded with the boys from Phantom before you actually.
Oh yeah.
And
oh cool.
John's got me pretty sold. There's no question.
Yay. Nice.
Fuck.
There's definitely a lot of pluses on the especially on the touring side, right? So
yeah,
the frictionless, the lightweight, you know, and then the whole idea of, and I, you know, I keep saying this over and over again, but man, one thing I loved about being a former skier, the one thing I loved about snowboarding is not having to wear those fucking boots anymore, right?
Right?
So the whole idea of hard boot, and I was just like, isn't that for all those fucking racers out of Quebec? tearing down the hills.
Oh, yeah, the forward stance.
That's right. Yeah, let them have that shit. But, after talking riding to Joey. Ice. Yeah, that's right, riding ice. After talking to Joey and a whole bunch of guys who do the hard booting and hearing what, like these hard boots are really, everybody makes them sound like they're soft and comfortable and flex really pretty easily, but then still have the stiffness and the stability when you need it, especially on the touring side, right? So I'm super interested to try a set.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm curious to try. I got those boots, they're Backlands from a few years ago, and they're, it still feels a little stiff. I don't like too stiff of a boot usually.
Right.
So I'm pretty like surfy, freestyle-y when I ride, I guess. I kind of like to play around a lot. But yeah, I'll give it a try, see how it goes.
Yeah. Well, the edge control on the downhill is what I hear is pretty sick with the hard.
Oh yeah, for sure. That'd definitely be.
Yeah.
Super, tight, super responsive.
Yeah.
You know, when you're in that chundery stuff and kind of curious. And when you're in that super surfy, fluffy champagne type powder, what that's like.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So what's led you to.
Oh, it's gear. It's Yeah. Everything's good.
Exactly.
Oh, everything's got to play somewhere, you know?
You got to have a quiver. Like, it's like you got to try different things, different times, right? Like,
yeah.
I've noticed myself, I've got a pair of Burton Tourist boots. I've noticed they're really stiff. And it's getting, my boots are getting stiffer and stiffer. And I'm like, man, to ride resorts, I can't be riding these things. But I'm like, why can't I just try a hard boot? Like, I'm pretty much wearing one right now as it is, but not with all the benefits of easy
easy transition
and all that good stuff, right? So.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
I don't know. We'll see. Fair enough. We'll see how that goes. Yeah. But I'm definitely curious.
Give it a try. Oh, you can get some of those slippers or.
Yeah, I definitely want to try a pair of those slippers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw one video Phantom posted, like that guy's side, like tweaking from side to side, and it looked,
yeah.
It actually looked like he had some nice flex to it. But
well, even just watch Joey's videos. Like you watch Joey ride, even he isn't even wearing Phantoms in some of the boots. He's like our videos, he's wearing some older boots and he's still like, I don't know, he just got the flow. He looks like he's not even wearing hard boots.
Well, and not to pick on it, but I mean, you're talking about a guy who's been riding hard boots for 20 years, right? Fuck.
Yeah.
Like,
fair point.
Way into the feel of how it goes, right? Yeah. So
Exactly.
Yeah. So I don't know. Whatever rocks your boat, you know?
So, Seb, riding in Revy for, trying to think, so
15, what, like 15 no, years?
No, 13 years maybe? When do you, 2005, you said?
I got Revy in 2007, I think.
Yeah, 13
So 2007, so, okay, so a long time.
Yeah.
And loving the powder, of course, right? Because, you know, like yourself, Chad and I are from out east, and you know, we know what the hills are like out in Ontario, Quebec area. Way nicer out here, but then you get into the avalanche conditions and something you have to be concerned about all the time. So you do your AVI courses and you get all the gear and whatnot. In all your years of riding out there, have you ever encountered any sketchy conditions? Anything that you're worried about? Have you seen anything?
For sure.
You know, hopefully not bad, but
triggered a few avalanches. I got caught in one slightly, and I've managed to get out of it pretty quick. And otherwise, I've always been lucky so far, knock on wood. But yeah, I always managed to get out of it, and either get, you know, let it go with a ski cut, or get surprised with it, but run to the side and get out of the way, kind of thing. But I've been an escape route, you know.
Nice. So when you and your buds are going backcountry, do you build a good plan? Do you guys come up with a good plan, or kind of winging it a little bit, but always have a good idea what's going on? You got a good crew that you ride with all the time?
We just get out there and go after it. You know, we don't care about it.
Nice.
Kidding. Yeah, no, we definitely have a plan for sure, man.
Fuck yeah.
I mean, it always changes your plans. I don't know. It's like any plan, you don't really, I don't know. You make a plan, but it will probably change. Sure. You got to be ready for it to change. But yeah, I definitely like check the weather as we go in the morning. I'm sure you talked about it with some other people there, like the InfoX and the Guiding World is super handy. Or there's the Min Report from Avalanche Canada, super handy tool. And then you can watch your avalanche forecast and do all that stuff, you know, figure out which areas you're going to. And I always like, I really like to try and keep a journal of like the areas I go to in my head, kind of thing, more than anything else, but just keeping a good idea of like which areas that what problem when you went there, and like keep those in mind because they, you know, those could keep on surfacing over time.
So your own little local knowledge. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
The history of the snowpack. Yeah. You've been learning from Joey.
Boom.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That stuff. No, that stuff's super key though. It's important, you know?
It is.
Yeah. If you don't know that, that's when you really want to like, okay, I'm going to like get out there, dig some pits and like evaluate everything.
Well,
if
you're there a lot,
you know, you don't necessarily need to dig too much anyway.
Right. Cause you don't know what's under your feet, right? If you've maybe been there in an area in the summertime, you kind of look at what's going on with, if there's boulders or trees or what's underneath you, that all plays a part. Like I was watching the Travis Rice, his Instagram where he's building the new Supernatural Park up in Jackson Hole.
Natural Selection.
Yeah. And he's just like, they're moving boulders and they're looking at how things might set. But that all changes in the wintertime. You don't know. Like the wind might make some weird lips and some weird bumps. And right?
Yeah, for sure, eh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I'm pretty curious to see how that's going to turn out. It looked pretty sick. I was following a bunch of the...
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, the building of the course and stuff, it looks super rad. Yeah,
even last year, watching them do that little bit of a, they didn't really do much of a contest, more just like a bunch of buddies.
Like just, a test event, right?
Yeah, buddies just hanging out, just hitting it hard and going to see how fast you can go. And yeah, it was pretty good. Pretty good stuff.
Totally.
I couldn't do that stuff, but yeah.
Oh, you could.
You used to.
Fuck. until I almost conked myself out. Fucking spinning like an idiot all by myself. I used to go to school in Kingston. I took animal health care in Kingston.
Okay.
And when I was there, exactly. Fuck. So I used to hang out at the local snowboard windsurf shop, and I hung out there every day. And next thing you know, I'm in there, I'm working for free because I'm getting, you know, discounts, whatever. But the guy from Coosport comes in, and I bought an iron. My first snowboard I bought was a Staple. I bought this back in the, has it been 1992, 93. And so I'm on the deck of my apartment, and I'm waxing it. And it's so fucking, I got the iron so hot, it's like it's fucking sizzling.
And inserts are popping
up. Fucking inserts came up through the fucking base. Not through, but they came up. Like, it, yeah. Not good. So anyways, my iron pin, the pin on the handle at the top of the little knob, the pin came out. So when the rep came over to hang out at the shop, I gave the rep a fucking hard time. This guy, Bruce.
Yeah.
Bruce Sutherland. And he's like, man, I like how you talk. I like your aggression. He's like, I like everything about what's going on. He goes, when you're done work your school, come see me and we'll go. You can come work for us. So fuck. Yeah. I was excited. So I got to work there. It was fun. But yeah, I used to go to Montreal or Ottawa all the time to go riding by myself because no one wanted to come. And did some stupid shit. Did some big gaps back in the 90s and no one's around.
Oh, yeah.
Just fucking. I didn't even pay for a lift. Just fucking hike the thing all day. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, cool. Nice. Yeah,
fuck. I'm a broke student, man. That's how it goes, right? Eating ramen noodles and sidekicks.
Damn right. Have a good time. Nothing else matters.
Fuck no. Just learning how to spin. But, yeah. So you told us you've been accepted into the AMC, ACMG.
ACMG, yeah. Yeah, dude, yeah. Stoked.
So how did that happen?
Never. Happened with a fair few years of just putting some basically splitboarding, ski throwing lots, and doing courses. that's mostly what you need and experience. You know, I've been tail guiding at K3 Cat skiing for some years. I've done a bunch of practicums at other places, and yeah, you kind of work your way up slowly and get some experience. Get the avalanche courses. You do UPS one, and then you got the AFSAR, sorry, which is an avalanche search and rescue course. And after that, you go into an intro to weather course, and you can do your UPS 2, which I did last winter.
Nice.
The UPS 2, UPS 1 is basically like learning operational avalanche, you know. No, it's basically you get like the language and, yeah, how to dig pits properly with the standard and all that kind of stuff. And then the UPS 2, it's basically more of a forecasting avalanche danger kind of course, I guess.
Yeah, that's all about like the recording standards and all that good stuff, right?
Yeah, totally, for sure. Yeah. But then, yeah, up to you get, it's like 3-week-long modules or something. I think it's changed this year, but yeah.
So was it this season that you got accepted into the ACMG, or is it?
Yeah, I just got accepted like a month or two ago, and then I'll be doing the courses this winter. So there's like 3 different courses and then a test and exam at the end.
So by the end of this winter, potentially, you'll be a certified ACMG guide?
Yeah, I'd be a certified apprentice guide, and then you get 3 years to do your full after that.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Damn.
Yeah, it's a bit of a process, but yeah, no good doubt. Times. It's been fun.
It's good times.
And sorry, who did you say you were tail guiding for?
K3 Cat Skiing.
Okay. Oh, yeah, K3 yeah. Cat. All right.
Yeah. Wait,
so will you still be tail guiding for them for this season?
I will be a little bit.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, just a little less than usual, but yeah.
As much as you can with work and all that. Dates.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It's like, gotta take some time for the courses and train for it and stuff. So
right.
I'll be maybe a little bit less this year, and then, yeah, hopefully I can be at the front of the group and just get the first track all the time.
Hell yeah.
That's what it's all about, really, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, entirely. No. Just follow me.
Well, you know what's funny? It's funny is when I went to Caribou Cat Ski here in Valemont, which is about 6 hours from here. And yep. The first time I went in, I had no expectations, no idea. I got the wrong board, wrong setup. Well, I had what's it called? The Molo, I don't know, my Burton board anyways. I forget the name of it.
Not a Malolo or something.
Yes, that's the one, Malolo. And I had it set up wrong, whatever. And my legs were dead the first day. But anyways, what I loved about it was the guide, he read the run we're going on, he would explain it to you like a dinner. Like he was explaining the menu of a beautiful meal. You know, on this side, you're going to find this little ripple, the little ripple. You're going to find a little downslip. He just had these great terminologies. And I was looking at the guy going, man, that sounds so good. Like I got the area. And I'm the fucking asshole that the tail guy's picking up because I'm like, go trying to find Pow.
Right. Yeah,
the skiers are gone. They're fucking beelining it down. And I'm like, doo 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 over here. Yeah, but that was lots of fun. But definitely a learning lesson. But yeah, I was that guy. I'm like, give me your pole. I fell over again. Give me a hand.
Yeah. So,
whatever. You got to explore. But yeah, I love that about the guides. I explained that way because it made you understand. Oh, yeah. It made you understand the run. Like you know what you're getting into. Like you know you're going to be facing this or facing whatever is in the way. Or stick to the left because there's like a lot of pow there and the trees are in the light. And yeah, it was good. I enjoyed that.
There's a cliff you can stand over there, and
yeah, we had fun.
All that stuff. Yeah, that's cool. Sick.
So I probably know the answer to this question already, but with working for a company like K3 Cat Skiing, why do you still splitboard?
I guess I just like being in the mountains, and then you just get out with your friends, and it's kind of nice to have the peacefulness of being out there. I do some sledding too. I'll do some ski hill stuff. I like doing a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
The splitboard is just a way to access places that no one else can get to, and it's quiet, it's awesome. I don't know, I think it's really fun.
Perfect. That's why I asked the question, because it's the same answer. Yeah. I think we all love it for the same reason, right? For the quietness. I know personally for myself, I even like the suffer part of it. I love the uphill climb for the day and the reward at the end of that. So,
yeah. I'm definitely a big for the down guy. I really enjoy going for my run, you know?
Yep.
That's the thing. And like most of the time, any splitboard objective, I'll like, I'll be nerding out on Google Earth or something, find some lines I want to go ride somewhere, and set a plan for that, and like nice. Just take off and go hit it, you know? Like, that's the fun part of the adventure, just like figuring out areas and yeah.
And then you get there and it's stuff. Like, fuck, this is not at all like Google Earth.
And you're like, oh shit, I'm skunk.
I'm out.
That happens.
So Seb, what's in your pack? Like, we like to ask everybody kind of what's in their pack when they go splitboarding, aside from the essentials, yeah. right? Like your Avi gear and all that good stuff. Like, what kind of food do you pack? Do you pack the duck and the goose food? And the chicken and the turkey?
Oh no.
And it puts in a tin box with a
couple meat sticks, some cliff bars, and I don't know, it depends, whatever's around. Pretty simple, usually some PB&J sandwich or yeah, anything really.
So one of the other things that we've noticed with some of the guys out of Revy and and riding in that sense, and like I'll call him out, Joey Vosburg, you know, guys who like to ride with their poles in their hands. Do you do that?
No.
Okay,
not yet.
Fair enough. That's good. That's cool.
Once I'm guiding, like once I'll be guiding at the front of a group, I think you don't really have too much of a choice because, you know, if you got some areas, there's always true to terrain you're gonna move if it's really deep. There's areas that you're going to have to plow a track for people to make it through and that kind of stuff. And then poles are needed for that kind of stuff. I'll take him out ahead of time if I need him, or some runs I may keep him out because I don't know, there'd be like a long side area that I'll need him. But most of the time, like if I'm tailgating a K3, I don't usually have him out.
Well, you're the tail guy.
It's a great tool to even like
tail guy needs them out for guys like me to help me fuck when I fall over. You gotta pick me up with your fucking poles, man.
Well, as long as it's not COVID time, I got hands for that.
No shit, eh?
No, dude, I went in fucking places. The guy's like, here's my pole. You're too far away. Pick it up. That's right. That was like 7 years ago. So, yeah, things have changed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck. I mean, I've done a tour where I kept my poles in my hand because I knew the ride out was going to get to a point where I was going to need the poles for a little bit. Still had some slope, but you know, just for that little extra push, it'd be good on the way out. But yeah, I'm just curious because I'd never seen anybody riding with poles until I saw Joey riding with poles. And just in some videos, right? And that's just recently after we recorded an episode with him. So just kind of curious about it because, you know.
I think it's a big guide thing. I mean, I know some people that'll do it just at all time, but I mean, guiding wise, like, you know, you're reading avalanche, you're reading avalanche conditions for your guests. You're reading the snow conditions, by example, as a snowboarder, like the crazy thing you can have is like that breakable crust that skiers can't deal with.
Right.
And seriously, like, I don't know, it's really hard to feel down under your board, but if you had a pole out, you can poke in the snow and you'll be able to tell, and then you can either like break the snow down for your guests or I don't know, that kind of stuff, right?
Okay.
Or warn your guests at least that breakable snow could be there. So same for like feeling the snow. If you can feel a wind slab really well with a pole, where with your board you may not feel it as well, you know? So I think people use it as a tool a lot. A buddy of mine, Chris Spicer, is a guy that you will pass, and yeah, he was kind of bring that up to me the other day. I was like, you know, that kind of makes sense.
It does.
But
it keeps you aware of the snow that's under your feet.
Yeah, you kind of get your hands in there a little bit if you want.
So what else do you like to put in your pack besides your PBs and J? We're going to bring you back to the pack. So
PBJ,
Any tools?
I hunt a bunch, so I'll check some like deer pepperonis or something. Usually, if I still have them, that's always the good stuff.
I thought you were gonna say bring a gun like fucking Mark did.
Oh no, man, that's Mark's hilarious. Like, that guy's fucking keen. And sick.
Did you hear it? I want to try a new thing. Split board hunting.
Yeah, fucking rights, man. Love it. So good. I pack a gun in my pack.
it's awesome. I always have like a first aid kit, mean communication, like an in reach. I highly recommend to anyone to have that, and and a radio to be able to reach out. Like in Revy, we got so many heli companies, parks, all that stuff. So, you know, if you get a radio, you can reach out super quick to like a lot of really good resources. So
what about with your group? Like your group that you're riding with, do you guys carry radios to stay in touch with each other? Or you just always stay in sight, right?
Yeah, a fair bit. Depends on the days too. If we're just like shredding trees for fun, boys, it's pretty chill usually. But oh, if you're like in some bigger line that you've never been into before, it's nice to be able to talk for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then yeah, carry a little tarp sometimes, depending, like some warm gear. Yeah, your skins, that kind of stuff.
What about?
I carry my note.
What about
some snowboard pads that I really like carrying? Those are sweet.
What?
So those are real fun.
Explain.
They're like a plastic pad that will slip into your Wally pucks, and then your split turns into pow surf.
Whoa! You just blew both of our minds. Okay, wait.
It's the shit. Like we'd never, dude. It's so fun.
You can buy pads that slip onto your pucks.
So it's a guy in Revy Nikolai that made them. I'm not sure if he still makes them, but
details. He had need them details. For a while.
I'm sure he could still have some. I think it's called almond manufacturer.
Like the nut almond, like the nut.
Yeah. I actually don't know why, but yeah. Anyway, they're awesome.
We're not asking you why.
Whatever. But I'm just kind of curious about that. That's fucking crazy sound.
Yeah, I really like carrying those.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah, no fucking doubt.
It's so fun, like going like tree skiing in the old world here, and you just like dump your bindings in your backpack and you start riding down with that. It's super fun.
Chad's mouth is wide open.
I'm just like what?
Oh, all right. Let's get back
to those, eh?
No. No.
Yeah.
Gonna look that up though.
Yeah, definitely.
Fuck. All right. So getting back on track, talking about what's in your pack.
Yeah, the backpack.
Yeah.
Multi-tools and all sorts of spare parts. I definitely like, I usually rock spark bindings, I'll have nitro bindings this year, and I'll definitely like carry spare parts that will fit those bindings.
Because there'll be nitro spark collab bindings.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. It's nice. Though the nitro straps have a little metal wire in them.
Okay.
So if ever you were to break a strap in the backcountry, you can your strap will just still work. You know, it can get you out of there without a problem. You get that little piece of metal in there. Yeah, that's actually pretty sweet.
It's a good feature
they got.
That is.
Mm-hmm.
So what about, because obviously looking at your Instagram, you do a lot of recording. So what about on the video side? What do you carry for that?
I'll drag a GoPro for, you know, quite a bit of days, actually. It's pretty fun to have. And yeah, you can get some fun footy and some good memories, you know?
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, we got a...
I like
Ken from Pro Standard is actually offering to give you a free GoPro mount... grill mount from Pro Standard. Yeah, we're just gonna give them out to our guests. So, yeah, you've got.
Oh, sick!
We're gonna get one sent to you. And
are you familiar with the grill mount?
No, what's that's the mouthpiece one, right?
So yeah, the grill mount. You hold it in your mouth. You bite on it, and you can hold it'll hold your GoPro, and it's got some indexes so that you can set the angle that your camera's filming on. So it's hands free. It's in your mouth. And one of the other little neat features that they figured out about that kind of stuff is scientifically they figured out that when you're biting down on something like that, it increases your balance, right? It helps you stabilize better. So all sorts of benefits to it. And your GoPro is fully stabilized because your head's probably the best gimbal out there.
Exactly.
Your bubble head.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll get...
Oh yeah, my buddy Johan was telling me about that type of mount. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So we're going to get you one sent out here.
Oh, sick. That's awesome.
Yeah, dude.
So, that's from Ken Achenbach?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Oh, sick.
Ken Achenbach in Pro Standard. Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
So
sick. Thanks, Ken.
Yeah, no problem, right? Exactly. So yeah, thanks, what do you have for a sled? You said you had a little bit of sled access. What do you got? What are you rocking for a sled? How many days?
Yeah, I got a 2015 Summit X.
Oh. It's a black one. It's a black one I see.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, it's black and a little bit of red on it. Yeah.
Yeah. I like those white and blue and the white and blue ones that were out. I don't remember what year those ones were. The Summit 800s. They were nice too.
Yeah.
I always wanted one of those ones just because of the color.
Yes.
That's because the color makes
don't
it better.
Fucking ask. I don't know, man.
Sleds are fun, man. It's a good time around here. You can just get so many places with them.
Yeah, does it change? Like, does it change a lot? Like, yeah.
What are you saying?
So it changes a lot the kind of terrain that you can get after. Like, do you ever?
Oh, big time, man!
Do you ever throw your split board on the sled and then go for a tour somewhere where you're just gonna drop the sled and then you're just gonna tour up and?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, nice. Definitely.
Nice.
Yeah, do that. Did that like last year? I didn't go just sled boarding a whole lot. I did a little bit, and yeah, go do some filming with the boys and stuff a little bit, but mostly I was trying to, you know, build my guiding resume and stuff, so I was mostly going splitboarding. The pass is awesome near Revy. It's like one of the few places that you actually can go there with from the road. Otherwise, not a lot of the places you can go.
That's Rogers Pass so you're talking about?
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's wicked, but it's definitely a little bit more crowded than it used to be, I'd say.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't know. Just having the sled and you can access so many mountains and so many places. You just look on Google or you go. It's
nice.
Awesome.
Nice. The backcountry is going to get busier. I see this trend. I'm seeing it happening already. Like
it's building up, eh? Yeah.
It is.
Well, and this COVID is probably going to change things a little bit with regards to all the mechanized ways to get into the backcountry, right?
Yeah, it's a cool side though. It's like, oh, a lot of new gears building up and changing and developing, and like the equipment's getting so much better now. It's awesome, man.
So what, speaking of equipment, since you brought it up, I'm going to hit on that a little bit. What are you riding right now?
Got a Nitro Squash Split for my split.
Oh,
nice.
It's like a slightly swallowtail kind of thing, but it's still kind of twinned up a little bit. It's super fun. It's a really good board.
Are those Nitros are all designed? Are they designed by Brian Fox?
The squash was originally part of the Quiver, so it was him and Austin Smith that were doing that. But they since then put it into its own thing because it was such a popular board, and then the Quiver kind of kept on evolving in its own way.
Yeah.
But the squash was designed probably by them. Yeah.
It was. It's part of their lineup. I'm pretty sure it was. Yeah. I like that board too. When I seen it, it was very innovative. I was like, that thing is awesome.
But yeah, it's super sick.
Yeah. No one sells them around here, so it's really tough to get at. But.
Yeah. Oh, really, eh?
Yeah, no one sells Nitro in this little town we're in.
Oh, that's too bad. I have to get Ryan on that.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just get Ryan to give me more boards. I already have 13. Yeah. I want more.
Yeah, it's good. You got to keep them. The Quiver's got to build up.
Oh, dude, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. That's sick, though. They're like, next year, they're making a split board specific boot that's going to be compatible with crampons. Got a bit of a walk mode on the end, on the back. And they're gonna
Nitro is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm really pumped to try that out.
They've always been innovative. They've always been that company that's kind of quiet in the background, that Euro company, but they've been just pushing the envelope all the time.
Yeah.
Since the 90s.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Their marketing's been on point the last few years, and they're doing a lot of cool stuff. Like, just the vibe that they bring into everything is awesome. You know, it's just about having a good time, which is sweet.
Exactly. Well, like we talked about that that one video that I found where the team rider brought a whole bunch of riders together to go splitboarding, and these kids are like bitching about up and complaining about it, and I don't do this crap and they're bitching, and it was good. It's good to watch. Just complaining pussies all the way up. But it was a good time. They had lots of fun. Like, it was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Nice.
I need another beer too.
Beer time.
I need a beer sponsor. That's what I need.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Been you get on that.
I've been looking. I'm trying.
Another one here too, then.
There you go. Nice. Cool.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
So what, man, I was gonna ask a stupid question, but there's I'm gonna ask it anyways.
Ask it.
Givers, there's no stupid questions.
Yeah, there you go. Man. Thank you. What, maybe. What's your favorite place to ride?
Mm.
Huh. It depends.
Have you explored everywhere you can explore there? No, right?
I guess, I don't know. The best...
Fuck, you've done canoe. You've canoed down the Columbia.
Alaska was probably the place, for sure.
Oh, Alaska.
I went to Alaska a few years ago, and that was probably the place. It's super hit or miss. Like, you could just get skunked when you go there. We got really lucky that one time, and that was amazing. It was, best riding. Like, if you, like, consider all the access, the steepness of runs that you can do, how stable the snow get most of the time, and all that, it was unreal. It's so good, and, like, the snow's so predictable. Yeah, that was definitely my highlight, for sure.
Sweet.
And how many times have you been to Alaska?
Two times.
Nice.
Time was like, I just moved to Revy the first time, and I was a groomer back then. And it was like, me and two of my friends had a week off, and we decided to randomly do a road trip to Alaska. So we drove for 2 days, rode for 3 days in the white out, so we like barely could find any trees to ride. And then we came back to Revy.
I was just going to say, you took a week off to go to Alaska.
Fucking Frenchman. I love it.
We're just like too fucking keen, you know?
Yeah, exactly, man.
If there's enough of us, we can just keep the engine running.
Yeah, fuck it.
Keep fucking driving. That's awesome. Yeah. So where have you not ridden that you'd like yet to go, that you want to go to?
Yeah, exactly.
Japan's kind of on the list.
Yes.
Oh. And it's funny, it's not really my style of terrain that much. Mm. I like kind of being mountaineer, or like big drops and stuff like that. That's kind of what gets me pumped, you know? But I don't know, the snow looks so unreal, and it's so exotic, and I think the culture shock of like going there would be so sick too, you know?
Fuck yeah.
Make sure you tell me before you go.
Everything around the riding, right? So yeah, the riding, I agree with you, man. When I see the shots and the vids from riding out there, I love the trees, I love the gaps, the spaces, I love the snow.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
The fucking bamboos up in the wintertime still, man.
Yeah.
That shit
is fucking crazy, man.
Yeah.
It blows my mind. I'm just like, what?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
I just want to go hot tubbing with the monkeys.
Oh, dude. The springs? the sulfur and whatever's in those waters? Yeah, I'm so into that.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks sweet. Yeah, the Wasted Youth boys have gone a few years in a row. I missed every trip. I was pretty bummed, but had to work. But it was it looks so sick, man. It looks like so much fun out there. And just they hung out in Tokyo for a few days, and then they go at the House of Powder cat skiing and stuff. And sounds like it was a good time.
Just hanging out in Tokyo would be fun, just for a couple days.
Craziness. I looked into going to the North Island and hiring a guide to take you backcountry, and it's like $700 a day to get a guide to take you in the backcountry,
just for a quick walk there.
Just for
why don't we just do an interview with them? And I know, for free.
That hasn't happened yet. Plug right there.
I'm working on it. I'm working on it always.
Damn right.
Yeah, I just want to drink some sake, eat some sushi, and fucking
sushi till I can't.
Shit, dude.
Man. Especially there.
I've got sushi. Grab sushi at 7-Eleven.
No doubt.
It's crazy.
And better sushi than you get anywhere in Canada, right?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I know. I've watched some videos. The 7-Elevens look epic out there, man. You can pack your day of food at the 7-Eleven.
Oh, yeah.
So Seb, I know you don't just climb walls for work and snowboard for fun. What else do you do for fun?
Otherwise I do some tail guiding, like I said, K3 cat skiing, and that's basically it, I guess.
For
fun.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. What did I do? It's funny. Like, for the longest time, I hated summer. I just didn't want anything to do with it. So I was just like working all summer, waiting for the winter, and I started climbing a little bit. It was fun. And the last few years, I don't know, I've kind of started embracing it a bit more and having fun. And started paragliding. I started skateboarding. I never skateboarded really before. So started skateboarding, which is super fun. We got a new skate park in Revy.
Nice.
Love that. Started mountain biking this year. Just trying new stuff, you know? It's fun to learn things. And it's kind of fun to suck at something and be like, oh, fuck, I got to get on.
no doubt.
Got to go back out again.
Yeah. Well, and not be afraid to try it too. At an older age, which is good. What paragliding, man? Fucking paragliding.
Yeah, that's nuts,
dude. That's the funnest. it's the perfect thing for like scaling. You know, you get off work and you're pretty tired, so it's the perfect thing. You just like get a ride to the top of the mountain, you can go for a quick hike, get to the top of the mountain, take off, and yeah, if you're lucky, you fly for a few hours and have a good time.
No shit.
Don't land in a tree.
Yeah, I try not to do that. I only landed in water once. So.
Yeah, I've been watching my buddy's video. He does that. He lived here. I met him in Grand Prairie when he moved back to Quebec. And he's crazy, of course. Quebecers are all nuts. But he does his paragliding, and he fucking was doing these loops, like his backflips with the paraglide. So it stays in one spot, but the
like,
body
flips. Like a full-on backflip?
Yeah, dude, full. Like, you're doing like crazy. Multiples. Yeah,
those are intense.
Doing back, so going backwards, flipping backwards, going back to front.
Yeah,
the fuck you do that? I didn't know you could do that.
Oh my god, I watched it. I was like, dude, this is insane.
I know you could go the other way. Like, I know you can flip forward.
He was doing both ways, man. He'd be flipping one way and he'd flip the other way again. I'm like, holy crap! And he's like,
that's fucking crazy.
I don't know how high in the air, but it's like, this is nuts. But okay,
so yeah, so paragliding, you're just jumping off the top of a hill. And just floating down. And how long?
At a resort, at Revelstoke Mountain Resort here, you take the Gandhi, and then we got a paragliding shuttle for the tandems and stuff. So you can take the shuttle, or you can just hike. And then you get to the peak. You get like right at the top of the stoke chair, at the top of the hill. Have you guys been here before?
No.
Mm-mm. Oh, you guys got to come, man.
Fuck yeah. I'd paraglide. Yeah. I'll go paragliding.
I'll go paragliding.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Fuck. Yeah, paragliding comes shredded, whatever, but yeah.
Shredding is number one.
Fuck it. I want to go paraglide.
Yeah, come on over, dude. It's so fun.
One of the things I discovered fucking going down a rabbit hole on YouTube a few years ago was paramotor.
Yeah. Yeah, my buddy Andrew got one of those. It's pretty crazy.
That's fucking nuts, man. It's wicked. It's like the closest you can get to flying. Without having to have any special training.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I mean, you got to have some training, but I mean, you don't have to have a license, right?
Yeah, no, it's pretty crazy. I hear there's a guy in Golden that goes and like drops food caches in the mountain with his paramotor. So like you call him up. I don't know. He maybe just does it for his buddies, but no, I hear he'll take off from wherever. He'll take off somewhere and like fly up in the mountain, dump like a food barrel or something, and then come back. And yeah.
I love
pretty
it.
Amazing.
I love it. It's fucking
crazy.
I love it. Yeah. I love it.
I want to get a drop on the mountain. I've been trying to convince my buddy Andrew, like, give me a drop somewhere, you know, just get a paramotor bump to the top of a mountain, go shred something, be sweet.
No doubt.
Fuck.
Who the fuck wants to be up there in the winter, though?
Is it cold?
Hey, on the right days, I've gone paragliding on my snowboard before. It's okay. If it's not like on the springy, like warmer days, it's actually pretty sweet. I flew for like an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Like Xavier and his brother out in France. Those guys are.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, those guys do it lots. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they drop from like feature to feature to get different features.
That's pretty sick.
Yeah,
that's
pretty.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Dude, yeah, those guys are pushing it. It's pretty fucking awesome. Fucking awesome what they're doing. Yeah,
they're pushing it.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
Damn, maybe. I was going to ask what's next for you, but what's left?
I don't know. There's lots of things.
No doubt.
So I'm just on your Instagram, and I'm on a picture right now where you got your Labatt 50 in your hand, and your buddy's wearing, you guys are fishing in a canoe.
I saw that, and I was like, oh, fucking 50.
Your buddy's wearing rubber boots, which is fucking epic. The t-shirt's got a fucking shotgun and an axe across it, and you're just like the 50. The same.
What is that? What are you talking? Where are you?
I'm at week 114.
Okay, nice.
You're fishing. You're back home. It's like Putin Land, Labatt 50 are your hashtags. But yeah, fucking 50 in Quebec. Oh, fucking 50 in Quebec. Yeah.
Oh, damn right. That's what you got to drink there.
Fuck you, Darren. It's good. He's fucking shooting a puke, but it's so good. You can't even explain it, man.
Oh, I can.
Fucking X, Labatt X and Labatt 50 in Quebec. It's not even the same anywhere else in Canada.
It's legit.
It is.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care what you say.
Nope.
I fucking know. Sorry.
Nice.
Je know better.
Yeah. You can have all the 50.
That and the Poutine. Line it up. Drink it all and eat it all. Yeah. So, yeah. So, what is next? What's your next plans? What's going on with Mr. Seb Grandin?
Another thing I've been starting to do is hunting last 5 years, whatever. Yeah, I just got a bow and we got a moose draw, so that's probably what's next, really.
Oh, wicked.
I'm going to try and...
splitboard bow hunting?
Yeah, try and find a... Whoa, yeah, maybe that's... I don't feel to go that late, but if it does, I'll do
that late. Yeah. Mark's all about it. He wants to go get some grouse and some fucking, some chickens.
That's the thing, though. Once there's snow on the ground, I kind of like fade away from hunting pretty quick there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The mindset changes right away.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of a switch. Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, I'm pretty stoked on doing that. And yeah, just do my guiding courses this year. That's my bigger focus, I guess. And we'll see what happens through the season.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, should we just end it like this? This was awesome. I had a great time. Lots of laughter. Fucking awesome. Awesome. We definitely have to connect again. Maybe do the old, the new thing we're calling the skin track chat. I have to go out riding with you. I have to make that happen, Revy.
Yeah, sure. We should do that for sure. You guys should come down here, man. Take you around the path or
I've been in the gym.
Right, it'd be fun.
I started working out. I'm on the elliptical. I'm trying to get in shape. I go really fucking super tension, like just to get, because I'm like not in shape. So I got to get in my.
Yeah.
I got to get ready for the for the tours. Yeah, super.
Right. Well, yeah. Whatever. There's always stuff to be done. You can go up the hill too here. It's pretty sweet. You get like right up there, and then you just go short tours and have a good time, you know?
Nice. I'm down.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks a lot for your time. We really appreciate you coming on, chatting, having a few beers with us. Soon we'll be doing beers together, maybe in December. December, maybe?
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, sure. Hit me up, man.
No 50.
No, only if we can get it from Quebec. Only if we get it from Quebec.
I don't think you can find that here. There's no way.
No. There's a reason.
Export. Yeah, Molson X and Labatt 50. That's the fucking best.
There you go.
Out of Montreal. Quebec. Yeah. But there's one other beer there, too, that's really good. I forget the name of it now. There's a fucking really good beer. It's a friend. Laurentide. Laurentide.
Oh, you're going to the old school stuff. I like it.
Yeah, buddy.
That's awesome. Shit, yeah.
Yeah, that's good stuff too. All right, Seb. Well, thanks a lot. And where can people find you online and plug some of your sponsors? This is the time to kind of rock that out.
Yeah, online you can find me, I guess, on Instagram. It's Seb Durr. So Seb _G with a bunch of R after. And then. Yeah, sponsors, Nitro, Nitro USA, Society Snow and Skate, Butter Butter, Glidewalks, Revel Soman Resort. Thanks for everything all the time. My homies, Support Wasted Youth, you can find them on Instagram. Watch our movies if you get a chance. It's usually a pretty fun time.
Nice.
And then we're going to have our canoe trip movie without a paddle that's going to be coming out. You might want to take a few of the sponsors that hooked us up for that too. The Flexpedition and Revy that set up all the gear for it. That was super kind of them.
Nice.
Sea Revel Soaked helped us up big time. Nitro helped us up big time.
Nice.
Who else am I missing now? Village Idiot Restaurant and Revel Soaked. Go hit that place up. Nice. They're awesome. Yeah.
Labatt's for all the beer.
Labatt's for all the beer. I wish.
Fuck Labatt 50. Ship it from Quebec out here. That's it.
That's right.
I'm not buying it locally. Fuck that shit. It's like, you know, I'm going to end at this. You know, I lived in Ontario and then Kokanee finally showed up. I went to Camp of Champions in 1998 with a bunch of buddies. We discovered like Kokanee gold. At the Boston Pizza, and we're like, "Fuck, this is good. This is good beer. Like, fuck, you can drink this." And we go home. We're like, "Fucking Kokanee, you drink it, but it tastes like Labatt Blue." We're just like, "This isn't good." And then you come out west, and Kokanee was like, "Oh, it's really good." But I've ventured out to new beers, but
was it the same?
No. Nah. Not the same.
Just conking up.
Not the same.
See, I'm the old guy growing up in Ontario. My first beer was a Bredor.
No.
No? You guys don't? You never heard of
Alexander Keith's what I used to drink.
Bridor. Came in the little brown stubby bottles. Was like 7% alcohol. Fuck you up.
That's Wildcat. Wildcat and Labatt Ice. Labatt Ice was out of control. 7.1% would kick the shit out of you, man.
In the tall bottle, in the big bottles there?
Yeah, it tastes like shit, but fuck, you got
1.18?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, I got some...
Yeah, right?
Had some bad nights on those ones. Oh, holy shit.
Fucking hungover. Labatt's is the worst for hangovers, man. It kicks the shit out.
Yeah, they do that.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. The old Molson Dries and stuff.
Oh. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Americans will have no clue what the fuck we're talking about, but that's okay. That's right.
Just know that we got stronger beer.
We do. We do. I've been obsessing over like Bob and Doug McKenzie lately. So I watched the video and they're explaining, if you don't know who they are, YouTube them. And they're showing like why Americans have twist tops and why Canadians have like, back then it was like a bottle opener, is because their beer is less strong. So they need to have they need to drink more of them quickly. So the twist top makes you drink more beers quickly. Fucking so perfect. Good. So good. All right, dude. Well, thanks a lot. And we're going to end it here and talk to you soon and keep shredding and keep doing what you're doing, man.
Yeah, shit. Yeah, but it was great talking.
Yeah, thanks, Seb. Thanks, Seb, for taking the time to talk with us. As always, you can learn more about Seb in the show notes. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at darkstarts.podcast to find out when our next episodes are dropping and to share your awesome pics and vids with us. You don't want to miss our next episode where we talk with Matt Droga of Stranda Snowboards out of Sweden. As always, thanks to Scott Martin of Groundswell Marketing Podcast and Pat Cornway for helping to make all of this happen. Peace, y'all.